Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Wednesday, June 6th. And we are now down to three Detroit Pistons coaching candidates reportedly. We'll get into that a little bit later. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer out here in Chicago covering the NBA, Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper for over a decade as well. Thanks for making us part of our daily routine. We're into our summer schedule three times a week now. You can expect a Monday podcast, and after that, you know, from Tuesday to Thursday to Friday, we'll get it in when there's news. We'll do some mornings, we'll do some afternoons, because I know there's some of you who rely on the Locked On Pistons podcast to be part of your morning routine, while others are kind of looking forward to different times. We'll kind of experiment with some different times as the season gets closer, and as we get into the season, obviously we'll make sure that the podcasts are up every weekday in the morning, just like you were accustomed to last season. But thanks for listening. Please, for the listen, everyone, please subscribe to the show on wherever you get your podcasts as well. Today we're going to be talking about looking ahead tonight to the Game 3 of the NBA Finals, but also dig a little bit deeper into the biggest NBA news of the week, and that's Boban to the big screen. Yes, Marjanovic is going to be in an action movie, and it's everything we could have dreamed of. But I'm going to tell you about the thing that I really want to see from Boban in that movie. We're also going to be giving the latest on the Pistons coaching search and how I see it going down with this week's meetings scheduled in California for three of the finalists, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com. What I think is going to happen, what I want to happen with this search going forward this week. And for Pistons playoff playback, today we're going to be going back to the going to work era. A double dose today, as a big day this was for the 2004-2005 seasons on this day. Two of the biggest road wins in Detroit Pistons going to work era history, and really of the whole franchise history when you can look back as well. We're going to talk about some of the biggest road wins in that era, and maybe rank a little bit. Maybe I'll put a Twitter poll up of what you guys think what some of the biggest wins were of that time. But as you follow the NBA Finals, of course, you should be following Locked On Warriors, Locked On Cavs, and Locked On NBA for all of that content there tonight. The finals continue with Game 3 in Cleveland at the Q, with owner Dan Gilbert of Detroit leading the way for that franchise. The Golden State Warriors shockingly hold a 2-0 lead going into tonight's game. Andre Iguodala of the Warriors has been upgraded to questionable, so we might see him before all is said and done. And also, Cleveland coach Ty Lue said on Tuesday that he might shake up the rotation a little bit in Game 3, possibly finding some room on the court for Rodney Hood, the reserve who's kind of been relegated toward the end of the bench as he's fallen out of favor with the Cleveland coaching staff so far in these playoffs. Makes sense. He's been a talented player in the past, and Cleveland obviously needs some talent, a little bit of firepower to keep up with Golden State. It could be the end of huge minutes for J.R. Smith, who had the Game 1 mishap that we've all talked about as ad nauseum by now, and then was a no-show in Game 2 and 30-plus minutes of action. Certainly Smith will play and continue to start, you would think, for the Cavs, but the hope might be that Hood takes some of those minutes forcefully with a good performance tonight for the Cavaliers. A 9 p.m. start Eastern for the game, and the spread is now down to 4.5 from 5.5 the other day. I'll take Cleveland tonight with the points. What the hell? The crowd and the team are playing off to hold off the end of an era here, not just to get back in the series, but to push the end of the LeBron era as far into the future as possible. So I expect a huge effort from LeBron and the team and the crowd in Cleveland as well. But other bigger news for Pistons fans: on Monday, we got word that Boban is hitting the big screen, the big man, 7'3" from Serbia, Boban Marjanovic. And what seemed like a joke when it first hit Twitter, the first time I saw it, indeed, thought it was someone was playing with us there. Boban will reportedly be in the new action movie coming up later this year, John Wick Chapter 3. As you might not be surprised, I'm not as big into the newest pop culture things as you might think that a young man like myself would be. So I'm not familiar with the John Wick movies. I've heard they're pretty good. I've heard they're exciting, but we are really missing out here in having Boban in Detroit anymore. But good for Bobby and Tobias Harris. They are now in Los Angeles, living the good life. since the Blake Griffin trade before the deadline in late January. The only thing we know about Boban in this movie is that he will be an assassin in the film. Boban and Keanu Reeves finally together. It was only a matter of time, but also apparently to Collider, which is apparently the Hollywood website. They broke the news about Boban coming into the movie. They also said that Halle Berry is also joining the cast for John Wick Chapter 3. And I think you know where I'm going with this. Boban and Halle Berry love scene. I think this is what we need. It's what America needs. Well, not just America. It's what the world needs. Yes, give me Halle Berry and Boban. Love interests. Making sweet love to each other on the big screen. I think that could really save where we're at as a world right now and really get us turned around into the right place. But also we're going to be updating in less important news the Pistons coaching search here in a minute, including how I see that it's going to go down this week in California and what I hope that will happen as well. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44 years old, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on in the show, we'll have Pistons playoff playback. Since we can't live in the present with the Pistons in the playoffs, we have to relive the past. Well, we are down to three. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com is reporting that Dwayne Casey, John Beilein, and Ime Udoka are the final three in the Pistons coaching search. Well, they didn't really phrase it as declaratively as that, just kind of saying that those three are the ones moving on to the next phase of the search. Always a chance that someone could sneak out of the woodwork, or maybe those three, for whatever reason, don't accept terms with the Detroit Pistons going forward. Casey, of course, up for Coach of the Year contention from this past basketball season after winning 59 games with the Toronto Raptors before another disappointing early exit from the playoffs. John Beilein, the coach of Michigan, Pistons fans very familiar with him, and Udoka, the Spurs assistant under Greg Popovich. Woj reports that they are going to meet with Gores in California this week. Casey was reportedly out there on Tuesday. Udoka will be there today. Vince Ellis of the Free Press is reporting that Beilein already met with Gores over Memorial Day weekend, so that's done, and they don't need to meet again. By the way, Wojnarowski also reports that neither Beilein nor Casey have, quote, fully committed themselves in pursuit of the Pistons opening, end quote. Well, yeah, you think? Casey is going to get $6.5 million from the Raptors as a buyout in the last year of his contract, and I don't know, man. If I'm him, I'm sitting this year out, enjoying my $6.5 million, finding something to do with my time after a couple of nice vacations in the mix there, staying involved in the game somehow, but just kind of waiting to see what happens next year and having your pick of a few attractive coaching gigs out there. He'll be the hot name out there next summer. This Pistons gig is not a good one right now, objectively. They've had a little bit mess of a search here this summer. The malaise around the team and the fan base in the area right now, the awkward mix of players. I'd be not at all surprised to see Casey say thanks, but no thanks. And the same with John Beilein. And I get it. You hear it out. You check it out. You scratch that itch a little bit with the NBA pulling you in that direction. But at the end of the day, I think he looks at the college kids, looks at the control he has in Ann Arbor, the effect that he can have on those kids as well, what the thing that he knows. I think it says it's a little bit more of a valuable legacy to be a legend there forever than to leave the fan base a little bit in the lurch, a little bit surprised, and to go get fired after a few years in the NBA. And obviously, Beilein is a great X's and O's guy, respected at all levels in the coaching world, but to the NBA is a whole different animal. And for all the reasons that might intrigue him about wanting to see if he can live up to the challenge, it could probably be too much newness and too much of a challenge for a 65-year-old to deal with in the twilight of his career in some ways. And I know as Michigan fans, a lot of us would like to think that our guy is the one that could do that job, but I just don't think there's a lot of great history with it. When you look at Brad Stevens and John Beilein are very different people. I think that Brad Stevens has more of the demeanor of an NBA coach, obviously, as we have seen so far with his run with the Boston Celtics. So I think in the end, the Pistons will end up, for better or worse, going with Udoka and probably with their only choice out of those three, I would imagine. I've been reading up on him these last couple of days. He sounds like one of Popovich's right-hand coaches. He kind of holds back Popovich when he's getting feisty with the officials. He's worked with the development of Kawhi Leonard and other Spurs stars, well-respected by guys like LaMarcus Aldridge, Manu Ginobili, and others. Could be a nice coach someday as far as a head coach. He has ancestry with Nigeria. He played with the Nigerian national team a little bit coming up. Was born as in the United States, though, but kind of has that African background that, you know, is kind of one of those things that is another place that the NBA could be growing in the future, and it'd be nice for the Pistons to kind of be an ambassador of one of those movements, whether it results in anything tangible for the team, you know, some certain players down the road or whatever else. Those relationships would be a unique thing that the Pistons would have going for them in the end there as well. Unfortunately, now you'd have a first-time coach coming in to coach what is now a veteran team, which is a thing that has happened over the years with a few egos here, and obviously in Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, and to a lesser extent, Andre Drummond as well. Not ideal for Udoka to come in and be dealing with that kind of thing for his first gig. Really, don't you think 1 year of Stan Van Gundy trying to figure this out with the roster that he created would be a little bit better of a move? And then a guy like Udoka down the line, maybe in a year or two, as the rebuild starts to take shape, don't you think that would have been a better plan? I think so. But it sounds like they're going to get this done as far as the coaches hiring before they hire a general manager, which is one of the things Ed Stefanski was tasked with as a senior consultant to owner Tom Gores. He was tasked with setting up the structure of the front office. And guess what? If they make this hire before hiring a general manager, then that has failed. That is a failure. The new up-and-coming GM that they talk about hiring from some of the articles from Vince Ellis, who's well-sourced with the Pistons, the young up-and-coming GM could be a guy like Trajan Langdon, maybe a Brent Berry, or some other name that we haven't heard about yet. Guess what one of the more meaningful ways that new up-and-coming GM could make his mark, or could even learn a little bit from guys like Ed Stefanski and Jim Lynham and Bernie Bickerstaff and whoever else is being brought in? Hiring a coach. That would be a great way for the new GM to get their feet wet and show their input in the process and go through that process and see how that works. See that side of it. It's an important way to learn on the job and to put your own mark on something that's obviously very important for the franchise. It's ridiculous that this team won't let that new general manager do that, apparently, from what we can tell so far. And also, you know what this means? Ed Stefanski might potentially be hiring Dwayne Casey, who is probably the front runner for this job, if he wants it, and sticking a future front office with him, causing the tension that always comes when the boss, you know, didn't hire the coach. He did the same thing in Toronto, and at least there, he was one of the top guys in the front office at the time that were there in place with Brian Colangelo when they hired Dwayne Casey. Yes, of course, Brian Colangelo, Mr. Twitterverse himself. And then when the Colangelo and Stefanski, group left, they were out, and Masai Ujiri comes in, and from what we can hear and kind of read between the lines every year is Dwayne Casey had a lot of success there, but always seemed to be like a little bit on the hot seat. It seemed like he didn't really want Casey Ujiri, but he was good enough to keep getting extended, and there was nothing the front office could do there. That sounds familiar to what the relationship with the new general manager and Casey as coach could be here in Detroit. So obviously, from the outside, Stefanski, who was no longer with Toronto when some of those, you know, butting of the heads happened, apparently in Toronto, he wasn't there. But obviously, Stefanski didn't learn anything from that process. And if he was brought in to set up the front office and set up the processes for the Pistons, I would say that that's a horrible first way to go about doing it. Why skip the steps when you don't have to? And ultimately, I'll say this, and maybe I'm getting a little conspiracy theorist here, it reeks of a bit of a power play by Ed Stefanski. If he hired everyone and he set up the quote-unquote power structure as far as one of his charges from Tom Gores when he was hired, then he's ultimately the one with all the power. He's kind of the puppet master there. And hey, more power to him, and literally more power to him, because he's angling for all that power. He might be the president of basketball operations and possibly without the title, but as far as that senior consultant in charge of the front office, he might be the one running the show here. And he knows what he's doing. He's known structures of front offices in the past. He's been around. And if Tom Gores is the absent owner that some of us kind of fear he is at sometimes, maybe Ed Stefanski sees that power vacuum and is seizing right into it and wants to bring in that, you know, maybe an unknown, unproven head coach and that unknown up-and-coming general manager. Well, guess what? If he's the one who's kind of pulling the strings and tutoring the general manager and kind of bringing everyone together and bringing everyone on board, then he becomes that power broker for the Pistons. And I for one, am not comfortable with how that's going so far. Why are you skipping a step? Why can't you just bring the general manager in, hire the coach, like every normal team does when they have this kind of really an opportunity? You know, when you clean house, when you take out a guy like Stan Van Gundy, who had those dual roles, you have an opportunity to make this as clean as possible. And this is just, folks, this is just not what's happening so far. And again, what's the hurry? Your number one candidate is probably Dwayne Casey. And their only other coach opening right now is the Toronto Raptors, who fired him. So obviously he's not going there. They have no competition, no timetable. What's the hurry? Do this right. Do this in order. Get the general manager. Have them help bring the coach in. I just don't see what the problem with that is. But, hey, let's get away from the present. It makes me upset. So we're going to go back to Pistons playoff playback after this. Since we can't live in the present, we will relive the past a little bit. And speaking of reliving the past, who doesn't want to relive the past 55 years or so of the Detroit Lions? And you can do that every day with the Locked On Lions podcast with Matt Derry of Detroit Radio. Check that out along with all of our NBA podcasts, NFL podcasts for every team, MLB podcasts being added as well. Check us out on the landing page at lockedonsports.com, where you can see all the podcasts from the network. We got you covered on the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, for Pistons playoff playback today, we're going back to 2004 and 2005, the prime of the going to work era. A couple of big days for this group happened on the anniversary of today. In some ways, you know, two of the five or six or so signature wins for this group happened on June 6th. All of them happened to be on the road, as this list of five or six that I put together, by the way, because, well, that's where tough teams get their signature wins, on the road. Talking about some of those road big wins, you might put New Jersey game six on the road, second round 2004 on that list, kind of an elimination game, which caused them to get a chance to win at home in game seven, along with the Tayshaun block game in game two of the Indiana Pacers Eastern Conference Finals in 2004. That's another big road win, obviously. I would also go 2006 game six against the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James in the second round, holding off those guys with a big win so they could romp in game seven at home as well. And also game six against the Spurs in the 2005 NBA Finals, a big win there to possibly set up a win in game seven. Obviously that didn't happen for the Pistons, but the game six win on the road when folks maybe didn't think they would have a chance after that Robert Horry shot in game five, but to hold off the Spurs for one more game was a big win for that going to work era as well. Like I said, I might put up a Twitter poll about those games. What do you think is the biggest road win of that era? But here's two more that certainly could go on that list. Two of the biggest wins of the going to work era, and in turn, obviously, two of the biggest wins in Detroit Pistons franchise history. Both happened on this day 14 and 13 years ago, respectively. Starting on June 6th, 2004, the Pistons opened the NBA Finals with a game at the Los Angeles Lakers in game one. I was poking around on the internet doing some research on this and saw Odd Shark, the website that obviously deals with gambling, had a historical look at the pre-finals betting lines and said that this year's Cavaliers were the biggest finals underdogs going into the finals since those 2004 Pistons. Now, the Cavs this year are much bigger underdogs than the Pistons were back then. The Cavs had a plus 1,000 money line, which is a 10-1 shot of winning that series. The Pistons in 2004 were a plus 400, so the odds were 4-1 for them to win the series, and which is pretty big when you're talking about obviously only two teams that could win that series. The next biggest after the Pistons in 2004 were the 2007 LeBron James-led Cleveland Cavaliers, who went up against the Spurs. They were a plus 350 money line long shot to win that series, and that game, that series, 2007, was a sweep. And then the number one on this list, obviously, this year, that will probably be a sweep too. So you get the idea of the kind of underdog situations that the Pistons in 2004 were going into that series. Instead, the Pistons had other ideas, going to Staples Center for game one, getting an 87-75 victory led by Mr. Big Shot, 22 points from Chauncey Billups. But the defense, as it always was, obviously was the thing for the Pistons here, despite 34 points from Shaquille O'Neal, who was 13 of 16 from the field, and Kobe Bryant, who got 25 points on his 10 of 27 shooting, something about the strategy of those field goal attempts disparities doesn't really quite work out, in my opinion. Now, to those guys' credit, Kobe and Shaq's non-Kobe and Shaq teammates combined for 16 points, and that's just not very good when you talk about an entire basketball roster other than the top two guys. That includes 4 points from Karl Malone and 3 points from Gary Payton, two future Hall of Famers clearly in, let's just say, an advanced stage of their careers at that point. That was the game that served notice that Detroit was not to be taken lightly in the series, a lesson that the Lakers obviously didn't catch in time, or still haven't caught to this day, probably. Another one going forward, another meeting with Shaquille O'Neal in June 6, 2005. The Pistons went to Miami and got a Game 7 victory in the Eastern Conference Finals to put them back in the NBA Finals for the second straight year. An 88-82 win for the Pistons against those Miami Heat. Dwayne Wade sat out Game 6 with an injury, which let Detroit get a home blowout win to save the season, setting up Game 7. Wade returned to the lineup in Game 7 at home. He played and went for 20 points in the loss. Shaquille O'Neal had 27 points and 9 rebounds, but it was the Pistons that got that win, led by Rip Hamilton's 22 points, 20 from Rasheed Wallace, 18 points and 8 assists from Chauncey Billups. These games are all available on YouTube, and you guys should be checking them out as you're enjoying your summers. Maybe it's getting too hot. Maybe you're going to be missing some sports after the NBA Finals ends as far as live sports throughout the summer. Watch these games on YouTube. I've been enjoying watching them as I've been researching Pistons playoff playback, and it's just been great. So check it out on YouTube and let me know what you think. The Pistons obviously moved on to face San Antonio after that win for their second straight trip to the NBA Finals, and we'll talk more about that on future editions here of Pistons playoff playback. Give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Let us know what you think. And also give us a like on the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-MattShook. Give us a rating and review on iTunes, all that good stuff that you guys have been doing as well. We'll have another podcast at the end of this week here, and we'll be talking more about the coaching search, more about the weekend ahead, more about the NBA Finals, and whatever else comes up in the world of Detroit Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook, for Locked On Pistons. I want to thank you guys for listening, and have a good rest of the week, everyone.